Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Becky Brown.
Hello.
And also Dr. Jill Hubbard. And if you would like to hear them address your problem, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. This Saturday, Chris Williams and I are doing, as you might have heard, are doing Finding Freedom. Now look at this. 1 in 3 Americans are suffering from anxiety and depression is the latest statistics. And the question is, are you one of them? Mm. At Finding Freedom, we're going to talk about what do we do when we're anxious and depressed. We have all sorts of coping strategies that are defective and they don't work. So we're going to address that. Many of us have wounds from childhood and we're still medicating those with different things. Mm-hmm. And then you come along and you get this COVID virus and it's horrific. And then add to that all of the stuff that has happened just over the past couple of weeks. It's increased a lot of anxiety, but also it's caused some depression because people have been aware of some things within themselves and about other folks that really saddens them, breaks their heart over it. So all of this, we're going to talk about that in Finding Freedom. So what owns you? What has you? What is it that you've always thought, man, I ought to do something about that? Why don't you do it this Saturday? You call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we will help you get free, give you the tools you need to get free.
So last week we did our webinar on depression.
We did.
And we had so many questions trying to discern what is the difference between anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And then what you just said is so interesting because we think that if the people around us would just behave, then we would feel better, right?
We do think
that. I mean, literally, we do. If we would only have the shortest line at the grocery store, if we'd have the best parking lot mm-hmm. space, all of those things that we think we try to create like this perfect world, and we don't live in a perfect world. And we feel all of the different things, and we can get stuck in that. So the anxiety, you've mm-hmm. said this many times, anxiety can get us stuck to where we are in a room, and we can't go out mm-hmm. because there's no control outside of the room.
Yeah, so whatever city you're in, if the state you're in is phonely, if only this were different, mm-hmm. if yes. only the, you know, and you can sit around and you can live in the if onlys for a very long time, or you could say, you know what, I need to do what I can mm-hmm. to change here, and I need to do it now. So whether it's being just stubborn or whether it's fear, shame, oh my goodness, to walk away Saturday and remove about 20 to 30% of your shame would be life-changing. So all of that, Finding Freedom. The following week, we'll do our Restore workshop, and if you have been hurt, traumatized, all of those things that happen, when somebody lacks sexual integrity, we want to help you there. That's on the 20th. But 6:13, that's this Saturday, Chris Williams and myself. Now, it's not just us talking, but we bring in the therapist, and then you do a Zoom small group. We've done this many times. The technology's amazing. And you get to deal with some stuff, really tough stuff. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about that. Now, if you want to join us, we're going to be in the studio for 2 hours, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. 3000. We'd love to talk with you. Hope you're going to have a good day today. We're looking forward to a great day. Also, happy birthday to Lisa Boyan, who is the producer. She is such an amazing human being that really, whatever New Life Live is, she is a big part of making it that. Happy birthday, Lisa.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. And right now, how about we go to Catherine? Catherine actually is it says right here, she's Club New Life member.
Yay.
And let's see if I can bring her on. Hi, Catherine. How are you today?
I'm great. And thank you for taking my call today.
Sure. What's going on?
I think I have the first candidate for your Finding Freedom.
Awesome.
Now that you presented that, now it's just to get the case out there. I have a son who's 28. Who's
28.
Just about ready to go to the police academy. And I know that he has some childhood trauma, verbal abuse, and I don't know, maybe some other added in.
Who did that?
My husband was the black sheep. Pardon?
Your husband verbally abused him?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it was modeled by his siblings. And I was, for the most part, absent because I was a night shift worker. Mm-hmm. And when I look back at that, you know, I am now feeling a whole lot of shame and guilt myself for having contributed to that. But the issue is that he has this past, and I can see it reflected more now that I live closer to him, that he belittles himself for making the wrong choice about something. And his wife says, "Danny, it's not all about you." And I'm just thinking in my head, "Oh, no, Crystal, you don't understand. It's not all about him. He suffered. He endured a lot."
Okay. So what's the question for us then? What
how
are
to
you
get
wanting
him
help?
To accept how to get him to accept help, how to navigate that in dialogue with him.
Okay.
So, you know, we were just talking about that depression webinar, and we had quite a few questions about how to get or how to make somebody do something. And, Catherine, unfortunately, we can't make anybody do anything. However, you can do your work. Mm-hmm. You can begin to do your work. And when you begin doing your work, you're going to have language and ways of being able to, to connect with him, to apologize, to talk with him, give him a space to talk about this. Right now, you're feeling so badly that your hope is that if he goes and gets help, then this will all just be resolved. But I think there's a couple of different things that are going on that you could begin doing some work. I mean, actually, you'd be a pretty good candidate for Finding Freedom. And you know,
absolutely,
you can suggest things and express your love to him, but I think it's really hard when you're in a place of guilt and shame to extend connection with the other person.
Okay, so go ahead, Jill.
Well, I also think, though, Catherine, in starting your own work, you can speak to him and let him know how bad you feel. Not to absolve everything for you, but to say that you're going to be working on this and that you realize there are some things that you allowed. And maybe you've had that conversation with him, but I think that's an important thing. And to even say to him that in this climate, you know, it's noble of him to go into police work, and yet at the same time, because of, you know, having seen him his whole life, you get afraid because of the things that might get triggered in him when he's in a situation like this. and that your hope and prayer would be for him to maybe look at some of those things as part of his work of going into helping other people, to put him in the best and strongest place possible.
So,
amen.
Catherine, I was talking with my wife about things like this last night, and she put this word out there that I think is a really hard word for us to hear, but it really clarifies one way and the other. And here's the word: accomplice. You, if you were an accomplice to him being emotionally abused, you want to turn that around and be an accomplice to him receiving help. And that's why you're calling us. So that's a good thing. But just as it would have been uncomfortable for you to not be an accomplice, to go to confront his father and say, "You talk to my son that way one more time, you have to not ever live here again," you know, that kind of thing. So that would have been really tough, and it, you might have even been physically abused over that. So it's also tough to say to your son, "I am going to attend this thing, and I'm going to figure out what it was in me that allowed me to allow this and all that. But also, I want to pay for you to be part of it. We won't be together. We'll be separate. But we'll hear the same information, and we'll be able to discuss it, and maybe that could bring about, in a very unique way, some healing that wouldn't occur any other way."
Amen.
Okay.
Well, if
so,
I could just interject.
Sure.
I absolutely stood my ground with my ex-husband.
Yeah.
In the past.
Yeah.
I myself suffered abuse at his hands.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, he tried to electrocute our dog.
Oh.
I mean, the guy was out of control.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was, the best I could do was to go to work at night so that my kids could go to Christian schools, Christian school. And that really paid high benefits with all of them.
Good.
Believers.
Good.
But I did try to stand my ground, which probably only motivated him to do more things when I wasn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So that's what I'm not. And then when I saw it modeled by his siblings, that was pretty horrific.
Catherine,
but I still stood my ground with him the best I could.
Have you done any healing work since that?
I'm engaged in a lot of the books that I received, being a Club New Life member, the grief book, and starting to, and how, I don't know, Steve, it's your book.
Healing is a Choice.
It came with the workbook, and you had workshops on it, how we
healing is,
see our
or how we love.
Yeah, well, you're doing some work on your own, and it would be nice if, you know, you did some work with another person to, you know, kind of give you some objective. I think you have a lot of courage that you've done, and it sounds like to me, you know, just like all of us, you did the best you could with what you knew, and no need for you to walk around with guilt, shame, remorse, and all of that. But I do think it would be great if you led the way in the healing process for him. So, knowing what you have and those kinds of things, let me see what we could send you. Let me just send you a copy of this Restoration Bible and hope that that will provide some good, solid truth in a way that you can read it and access it, that you, it would be an encouragement.
You know, sometimes that word accomplice is pretty powerful. And you think about when, you know, as Catherine described, you know, knowing all of this is going on, and then the siblings are still having issues.
Yeah.
That there's healing that needs to be done throughout the whole entire family. And also the reactivity, the trauma that they've all experienced, because this is what they saw their whole entire life. And, you know, it drives us.
Now, if I know who's on the phone here. If you question whether or not your entire life could change by going to a New Life workshop, let's talk to Melissa from Denver, Colorado. KRKS is the station. Happy birthday to you.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a big one. 10 years, huh?
How are you guys?
So
well,
good.
You know, somebody said referred to it as a decade, and that really freaked me out.
That's a
decade is a long time. A long time without a drink.
It is. And just to remind everybody, if you don't remember our annual phone calls here, Melissa came to one of our workshops and needed to have a drink or two just to come in and be there. And you know, a lot of people feel that way when I'm speaking. But you did it. And then before that weekend was over, you decided your life needed to be different. What do you think it was?
Oh my gosh!
What do you think
you
happened
know,
there?
It was a healing as a choice weekend, and it all started at Women of Faith when you shared your story. And I thought, I cannot believe he's saying all these things out loud, because you know I had a secret and I was living in guilt and shame, and you know, born and raised to, you know, a Catholic and all of those things, and so. Hearing you say that, buying the book, just like your previous caller, reading Healing as a Choice, like within that same weekend, and being in that room amongst all those amazing women and you know, Mandisa singing, that was kind of the mustard seed. And then I heard you speak, you know, about a year later, and you guys played the video at the end and showed all these people with their testimonies. And I'm like, how do you turn your life around and change in a weekend? Like, that's what I need, right? Because it's instant gratification. As an addict, right, I want instant gratification. So I was drawn to it, you know, in that regard. And I had just lost a job. It was during the, you know, financial crisis in like 06, 07. And I said, how do people afford this? How do they pay? Long story short, scholarship later. There I am at the Marriott in Denver. And it was a combination of things. I think it was being in a room full of people that wanted the same thing. I think it was the small group, the therapist that led our particular group, who I still keep in touch with. And I continued with her for, I think it was like 2 or 3 years after
awesome.
That weekend.
Yeah.
And then coming to the realization of, you know, well, wait a minute, maybe I have a drinking problem, which I had left out with all those other, you know, therapists and stuff when I would go to therapy and all of that. And then really the moment, Steve, and I tell people this all the time, but after I was convinced by your sweet wife and the group of women to go up there and give my testimony, because of course I was like, I'm not going to go up there and talk and be completely exposed, and went up there and shared my story, and to look out and see you standing there with such an emotional reaction and response in that moment that you and I shared then, I will never forget. I mean, it's up there with, you know, the birth of my children and my wedding 5 years ago. And so, you know, it just was the catalyst for change. And I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I was so burdened and heavy with that secret. And to be able to know that, you know, even today when I tell people my story and they don't have this, you know, ridiculously strong reaction or judgment, still amazes me to this day, right?
Something.
It's still that power of God and that power of forgiveness and that power of grace. And right now, especially with what's going on in the country, I've got biracial kids and an ex sheriff's deputy as a husband. I'm really struggling, and I have to go back to the grace that God extended me, and the way that my life has transformed and changed is what I have to extend, you know, to so many people now. And it's, I mean, truly, I'm not able to say that, and I'm not able to stay off of social media and not be super reactive and, you know, we learn to respond, not react.
Right.
Well, I got to go to a break.
Sponsor all those things.
I got to go to a break.
Okay.
Can't thank you enough for calling and reminding us that life really can totally transform one day at a time,
yes.
and it can start on any one day. And I'm hoping some folks will come to Finding Freedom this weekend and experience what you did. But God bless you. So grateful. Hold on. I want to send you a Restoration Bible, just our way of saying thanks for being part of the family. 10-year birthday today. That could be you in 10 years.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. I'll tell you, that's just pretty amazing to hear that. And again, you know, that is available to any of you who are struggling and thinking, my problem's not that bad. It's just, it probably isn't. But it might be serious enough that it's preventing you from living the life that God has always wanted you to live.
You know, I was just saying to you guys that I remember that particular weekend I was there, and I remember when she got up to tell her testimony, and there was a little bit of sarcasm in her voice, mm-hmm. and just yeah. a little bit of, I'm not so sure about this. And the freedom that she just is expressing now.
Yeah.
And I think about so many people who are listening, and they've thought about going to a workshop, or they've thought about doing some work, and there's every excuse to not do it, yet what her testimony says is there's freedom.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, instantaneously. She did the work, and she's got a life that's full and free now. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, so grateful that she called. And look, come, just call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and get involved in finding freedom, and it could be the beginning, just like this. All right, let's go to, who is that? It's, well, I tell you, I can't even read her name. It's so, if it is a woman, but it might be a man, so I'm going to go like this. It's Barkley. It's a man, Hanover, Maryland, WAVA.
There you go.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, and to you and to your hosts, and happy birthday to the birthday person.
Yes, thank
yeah,
you, Barkley.
Lisa. Yeah, appreciate that. How can we help you today? What's going on?
Well, I guess let me try to make it short. I'm 71 years old. I say I was born on the wrong side of the tracks, to being born again. So all things work together for good. Thank God that I've had a born again experience, although I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. And I say that because we're in a situation where Black Lives Matter. And being African American or Black, we have some strikes against us right from the jump. But I just wanted to state that because we in that situation. But
yeah.
my problem is I've been married for 41 years, July the 15th, and we were not compatible, and I've tried for years to change her, but the Lord told me, no, you work on you and let me and put her in my hands. And it's been actually a development, I guess, a training for me to mature and to put away some of the adolescent and childish things. Paul said, when I was a child, I behaved and I understood,
yeah.
but when I became a man, so it helped me to this environment. When I begin to examine myself and stay in the Word and pray.
Okay. So what's the question for us then? Given all of that, what is the question here?
My question is, we're in a terrible situation. It's just like living physically together, but there's no bridge of communication. It's constant 24/7 where she criticizes and disrespects and nags me all the time. And my problem is, and that's where you can comment, it's a distraction, because the Lord has let me know that, I'm in the ministry. And
okay, but ask me a question, because we totally understand this horrible situation for you. So what is the question?
What can I do to finish my course? I've got more behind me than I got in front of me, and I want Paul said, fight a good fight,
You're so godly-minded that you keep throwing God in here, which is great, the scripture foundation of all that you're doing, but we want to help you with that ungodly stuff that's going on, because this is horrible for two people like yourself, married 41 years, and it's all negative all the time. I hate that. So let's start with Jill, and Dr. Jill, what do you think here when you hear this kind of situation?
Barclay, you sound like a dear person that has a lot of wise thoughts and that have probably helped you a lot in this situation. But I'm wondering, between two people, sometimes we have the best intentions, but we miss the other person. And a lot of times women tend to try to criticize into health their relationship. And so I'm thinking that there's probably a lot of missing each other. So even though your words are true and good and valid things to live by, somehow you're not connecting with her heart. And she's not feeling seen, so therefore she keeps criticizing and criticizing, right, to try to get things better and in line.
Well, she's expressing her unhappiness.
Right.
And obviously, she doesn't feel heard on some level. Now, that's not making you all bad, Barclay, and her all good. It's literally a breakdown in communication and probably a habit after 41 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, Barclay, we're going to give you the other side of this, and it's very different than what you just heard. So hold on.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And you know, I just want to say this, Barclay. If my buddy Dave Stoop were here, he might remind everybody that he reminds everyone that criticism has absolutely no value whatsoever. And he encourages every couple to find a way to not be critical of each other. So that's mm-hmm. one thing. Second thing is, he goes into great detail on how incompatible he and his wife are and how they've made that work into an absolutely wonderful relationship. And research shows that there, I think the number is seven. There are about seven areas of incompatibility that almost every couple has that they'll never resolve. So I just want to say this. Whatever you're doing, her strategy of criticizing you or trying to get your attention through criticizing, that's a horrible strategy. Mm-hmm. By the same token, your reaction to the criticism, whatever that is, like just don't listen anymore or just try to get by and get through and get on to heaven here, as you know, that doesn't work either. And so at some point, you have to say, I'm going to abandon my reaction to it, hoping that I can initiate some kind of change over here. And I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back to Becky and Jill. We have to admit, just as we know, there are some men that just won't look at what they're doing, and they justify everything they do inappropriately toward women. Well, women aren't immune to that. There are some women that are just impossible. They won't look at it. Maybe you remind them of dad, or you remind them of mom, whatever it is. I don't know. But we have to give some benefit of the doubt also that this really could be her problem. And I'm glad that you called to try to get some help here. And so now I'll turn it back to Becky and Jill to try to give you some options other than don't listen to the criticism or find out what is the biggest sort, whatever it is, then let them help you.
So one of the things that we are taught all the time is reflective listening, right? So what if you were to listen to what she's saying, and so that she hears that you hear that she's talking. Like, so let's say that she says, you are always late. You never are home on time. And you could say back to her, honey, I hear that you're frustrated because I'm never on time. Never here. And that sounds so elementary, but it radically can change the conversation, because if she keeps saying the same things, and it can be a broad spectrum of criticisms that she has, but if she keeps saying it, it's because she doesn't feel like you are hearing it. And Barclay, the most amazing thing is when you practice that and you start hearing that, you start thinking about, well, how is that true for me? Mm-hmm. What could I do differently? But that's just one little thing.
Well, right. Our first reaction is to say, no, I'm not always late. I wasn't late the other day, and try to justify our position. And that doesn't work. Even if it's true, you have to first hear the person before they can hear you.
That's right. Now, that's such a nice little problem. I hate to belabor this, but I think it's important. Nice little problem. You're always late. So when she says to him, you're not man enough to let me be who I want to be, a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So what does he say to those kind of deep, penetrating, hurtful things that go to the very heart of being a man? Because I'll guarantee you those words have been said. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about some strategic or some time lap thing. It can be, you eventually, after 41 years of criticism, you get down to really horrible things. So what does he do?
So maybe eyeball to eyeball conversation. Mm-hmm. She says that, and the first comment is, I am so sorry. That's your experience. You feel like I am not allowing you to be the person that God created you to be, and I'm just sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right. And Becky, you're sorry that they feel that way, that that's their interpretation. You're not, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to admit that because that's not the intent of my heart. But you're acknowledging their experience. You're sorry that they experienced that.
And all of us, it's really powerful for us to know how other people experience us, especially in a marriage. But, you know, to your point, Steve, it's not just this simple little time management thing. This is a core wound that she's throwing at him, you know, maybe.
Well, and you can even say, ouch.
Right.
Wow, if that's what you are receiving from me, that would really hurt.
Yeah.
Like, really emphasize it.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is it goes both ways. Men objectify women all the time, and that's a horrible thing. Men can also, and I think the word would be, do emasculating things. Women can do emasculating things toward men. And all of us need to look, and rather than go, hey, wait, don't say that or that, but wait, just stop for a minute and say, is any of that inside of me? Mm-hmm. Is there any layer I need to peel off and say, you know what, I've been part of that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't say it that blatantly, but I really, really did attack who this person was as a woman or as a man. All right, Barclay, I'm going to send you Worthy of Her Trust. I hope that'll be a great book for you to read. You seem like a guy that really wants the best. Maybe that'll take you to a different level. I hope so.
There was so many times in couples counseling in the office, I would ask a spouse that was pretty agitated towards the other one, so how have you been praying for them? Mm-hmm. And you always get that reaction of, well, I'm not praying for them. I'm mad at them. I want them to straighten up. And I think as believers, and Barclay, you know, you are one, mm-hmm. that can be the first course of action. And that sounds so religious, but I don't mean it that way.
Yeah. All right. I hope something we've said is helpful to you, and I'm really glad that you called. Stay the course, and we appreciate mm-hmm. the ministry that you're doing. Let's talk to Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, here we are. Man, getting close to the middle of June, and we've got a wonderful workshop coming up here, Finding Freedom, and the only way we're able to do that is people have supported us.
And funny you should mention Finding Freedom. I've got a testimony.
All right, let's hear it.
I came to Finding Freedom with some trepidation. I knew of issues that needed to be addressed. I had some fear about the breakout group meeting with a group of people I didn't know. My initial inclination was to be guarded. To my surprise, from the very first person that shared, I took down my wall and shared my deepest, darkest secrets, things I had never shared before and was sure I would take to my grave. I feel a weight removed and finally feel I've started processing pain that I've been carrying for 25 years. I realize how guilt and shame have affected me and my relationships. So it's kind of twofold. If you or anywhere in any of that kind of stuff is with you, come to this workshop this weekend. You don't even have to leave home. And it'll help most anybody with anything. Secondly, if you can support this ministry, we still have our matching gift going. We are passing the $200,000 mark today of what's matched out of the $375,000. So we're getting there, but we need to keep it going because there's $175,000 sitting in the bank that we can't touch until you make a gift and get it matched.
Well, and Larry, let's don't forget this. This wonderful call from Melissa.
Yeah.
She was on scholarship there.
Yeah.
And that you literally could be the reason or the way that God allows somebody to get some help that they never could have gotten. Mm-hmm. So please help us if you can.
So thank you, everybody who has been helping us, for those that established Amen. That matching fund. God's doing a wonderful work here at New Life, and we just want to keep it going, so thank you.
1-800-NEW-LIFE, that is the phone number to call. And how about we, I can't punch the button, but I'm going to go to Donna, Plano, Texas. KWRD is the station there. Hi, Donna, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing all right. What's going on?
Okay. Well, I just need a perspective here to see if I'm looking at this right. And the question basically is, did my Celebrate Recovery group overstep their bounds? A few months ago, I missed one meeting. I'd been going about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine's mother had died. So the next day, my apartment people, management, came by to do a welfare check.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that three people from the Celebrate Recovery group called to do a welfare check on me because I did not attend a meeting. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm fine. Because I'd never given any indication that I was suicidal or depressed or anything. I'd gone for rejection issues. So, basically, a few days later, the apartment complex came back and said, we're going to do periodic checks on you because we have to take this seriously that you could be unstable.
Okay.
Well, I contacted these people from CR because I felt like when they mentioned CR to my apartment complex and gave them the names, because they provided those to me, that they kind of broke confidentiality with me and their, you know, rules. So I called them and I said, what made y'all think that you need to do a welfare check?
Hold on. We'll get it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Donna, you still there?
Hi.
I'm going to say one thing, and then I'm going to turn it over to Becky and to Jill. But
okay,
the headline here for me, in the midst of billions and billions of people in this world, you matter to some of those people. And it doesn't sound like they handle that perfectly, but I don't want you to miss the fact that they cared enough about you to take a risk to be sure you were okay. And I really believe in 9 out of 10 cases, there wouldn't have been any intervention because people just wouldn't have wanted to get involved, or they were too detached or something. So I just don't want you to miss a headline here that they really did care.
And
they
I'm so thankful that they did, and I'm thankful that you're safe.
Yeah.
And I know that it was not, there was no reason for them to call. You know that because you were on this other side. But the other part of the story is, and we hear this so many times, is, you know, I was gone and nobody even called to check on me. And so there's
much more common.
Yeah. And so I'm grateful that they checked on you. And to, even though I know, Donna, this wasn't the, you know, you weren't suicidal. This wasn't, you know, a life-threatening situation. But so many times we hear of people who are in life-threatening situations and no one does make the call. And so I would encourage you to find it in your heart to forgive them for doing what they thought was the best thing. And we are imperfect, and we do imperfect things.
Right.
Jill?
And to look at perhaps what came across to them that was worrisome.
That's good.
You know, you know what's going on inside of you, but all people can read is what they hear and see. And sometimes people project their own stuff. So that's, you know, that's a given too. But I would rather someone err on the side of caution, like Becky is saying, than do nothing and have a tragedy. And I think everybody's senses have been heightened through the whole COVID situation and with the, all the unrest. And so people are trying to help. And the confidentiality issue, if you really think someone's in danger, then you risk that. And you know, certain people and churches and things like that, we are mandated reporters. So we have to step in and override that when we think there's a life or death situation.
And, you know, the bigger thing, too, is we have to extend grace when people are trying to do the right thing. And it's hard sometimes to be seen. And I, you know, I know that there's this discomfort that, oh, they thought that I was going to do this, and now the these authorities are going to come in and check, and now everybody knows. And what I would pray for you, Donna, is that there would be some grace that you could extend to all of those parties.
Yeah.
And look for opportunities to connect with the people who are coming to check on you and to get back into group and do the work and process with everybody. And it's really going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, allow yourself to feel cared about. Take that in.
All right, I'm going to send you Healing is Choice. Great stuff there on grieving and forgiving, and I hope that that's going to be helpful to you. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible also, because we care about you also. I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to take one final phone call here. So Bob from Mahia, Texas, how are you today, and how could we help you?
Good afternoon, or I guess I should say. I lost my wife back about 6 months ago, a 45-year marriage, wonderful. But the last 5 years were very, very difficult because she was sick much of the time. And she passed away on me. And I got through the grief process. Initially, I thought that I could do it on my own because I'm a minister. And it was just difficult beyond means, because I guess we were so close. We went everywhere together. What ministry I did, she did. What ministry she did, I did. And so it was togetherness all the way. We were married for a long time.
Oh, my goodness.
And
well,
it's come
I'm so
back
sorry.
Now, and I'm having some struggles again with depression.
You know, I think it's really so common that we go through that initial wave. And, you know, about 6 months of that, and things start to get a little bit better. And then the thing we don't realize is to get through that when it's really deep grief because of the relationship being so wonderful, mm-hmm. it kind of can deplete all of the reserves and the resources mm-hmm. there. What do you guys think?
Well, the other part too, you know, Bob, you were talking about taking care of her for the last six months of her life. And so there was some, you know, some caring. You know, we do get tired of taking care of people even though we love them. And so your depression can be coming from some of that. Grief is this ongoing journey. It is not a, okay, you've passed 6 months, now you should be done with this. It really is an ongoing. And I would encourage you to take a look at Steve's, he did some videos on his YouTube and Facebook about the 12 steps of grief. And I would encourage us to send him the grief workbook. You need to get into a group. And I know that as a minister, that can be uncomfortable because you're used to being the mm-hmm. one who's taking care of everybody else. But healing occurs in community, and you really need some great people around you right now.
Yep. I did do, there are 12 videos on YouTube on going through the 12 steps through the grieving process. I'll send you the little grief workbook and the Life Recovery Bible and suggest maybe a clinician could help you also. Finding Freedom this weekend mm-hmm. could also help. Jill, you have a comment here?
Well, just, Bob, our heart goes out to you, and the mm-hmm. process takes as long as it takes. Right. And so, you know, again, you've got a huge void after losing your wife, and it's hard when you've had such a great partner in life. You mm-hmm. don't replace that, and you don't get over it. You get through it, and you create new circles of community that add to your life.
And one of the phases of that grief recovery is that you have to go through a whole year mm-hmm. of just those experiences without that loved one. And there's no time limit. You know, it's just mm-mm. the fact that you haven't even experienced all of the anniversary kind of things that come with
it. Yeah, it's really fresh, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I do want to say this to you also. I think to know that you had this kind of relationship, mm-hmm. that it hurts this much, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's a real tribute to both of you, mm-hmm. and I hope other people hear that you can have a relationship like this that's so valuable, that it does hurt mm-hmm. Like this, but it's worth the pain to have all mm-hmm. of those memories of that were so fulfilling. So a couple of things. I'll send you the workbook and the Life Recovery Bible. I also want to send you Healing is a Choice. And then again, if you could join us for Finding Freedom, I think that would give you a big, big help here. Anybody else, please think about it. We've got Finding Freedom this weekend, Restore the following weekend for women who have been hurt by a man who had a problem with sexual integrity. You can watch this next program we're going to do on Facebook Live. We would love for you to do that. And you can join us by calling 1-800-229-3000. One of the things that I know for sure in times of uncertainty and unrest is that God's love is there equally, justly, fairly, with rich in mercy to all of us. And God is never, ever, I don't think, more pleased when a person than when a person humbles themselves down to a new level of openness to change, openness to transformation. So all of us, let's be in this reflective mode where we look at, is there attitude, is there an action that might need some work, or maybe we could rededicate our lives to truth, justice, and mercy. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, you call us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.